Cold mornings, frosty windows. Yep, it's that time of year. So treat yourself and start your day with a cup of fresh roasted Sterling Roastery coffee, sourced from around the world and roasted multiple times a week for unbeatable freshness. It's the kind of warm-up every sports fan deserves this holiday season. And right now, you can win one of three $50 Sterling gift cards, perfect for gifting or building your own winning lineup of Java in the morning. Enter today at sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways so you can wake up, warm up, and Sterling up this holiday season. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
125 defining moments, one legendary league. This is Darren Hayes of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, and a great book is out right now, NFL Moments, 125 Icons and Stories That Define the NFL. It's a definitive visual history of the National Football League, packed with iconic images and untold stories behind the game's biggest plays and its greatest players. From the early legends like Red Grange to today's stars like Patrick Mahomes, this book is a touchdown for fans who crave more than just stories. So give your football bookshelf a Hall of Fame upgrade or snag a holiday gift for that NFL history buff on your shopping list. Pick up NFL Moments, available now at your favorite bookseller. You're just in time for a great conversation we'll have with Timothy P. Brown of footballarchaeology.com as he talks about the 12th man and some illegal activity that occurred in very unsportsmanlike times in the history of football. Tim's up in just a moment to tell us all about it.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And welcome to another Tuesday evening where we get to talk to Timothy B. Brown of footballarchaeology.com. Tim, welcome back to the Pigpen.
Hey, Darren. Look forward to chatting once again and maybe bringing some extra effort to this one.
Extra effort. All right. I like that. I like your spunk tonight.
I am really excited about this one.
Yeah, you can see it in your face.
I'm bubbling over.
Well, this is our poor way of segueing into tonight's topic, which is a recent tidbit of Tim's on footballarchaeology.com. He titled it Unfair Acts in the 12th Man. What can you tell us about this story, Tim?
Yeah, so this is... I really first came across this whole issue when I was researching my first book, which is about the Rose Bowl teams of World War I. And I was reading the account of the Great Lakes Naval team out of Waukegan, Illinois, so just north of Chicago, versus the Naval Academy. They were on an Eastern tour playing a couple of games. And it turned out that as Navy was up 6-0, they're driving, they have the ball inside the 5, a couple minutes left in the game, and if they score, it's over, right? And Great Lakes Naval had been told at halftime, if you win this game, you will get the Rose Bowl invitation. So, you know, I mean, that was pretty big motivation at the time.
Extra incentive.
And yet they're about to lose it. They're about to lose the game. So Navy hands the ball off inside the 5 to, you know, one of the running backs. Ball pops out, you know, flutters into the end zone, and one of the Great Lakes players grabs it, scoots around the end, and starts running upfield. And he's got, you know, got a couple of blocks, but he also had three of his teammates trailing him. So there's no way anybody from Navy can get to the Great Lakes Naval guy. So he's running along the Navy sideline, heading for the end zone. All of a sudden, this guy comes off the bench and tackles him, one of the Navy players, substitute. So a couple punches are thrown, and at the time, the football didn't have a rule about unfair acts. So there was no formal rule that allowed officials to kind of make any call they wanted to right a wrong. Right? And so, as it turned out, the commandant of the Naval Academy came out on the field and said, I don't care what you all say, you're going to give the touchdown to Great Lakes, right? So he did not want his team to win through any kind of dishonor, right? And which was, good move on his part. But that was the first time I remembered coming across that. Now, I also had kind of a memory of seeing a film of something like that, but obviously they didn't have film from that particular game. So, it's an illustration of potential situations. And we did it, did a broader podcast about this a couple of weeks ago about unfair acts, that the referee needs a way to make a ruling that steps beyond the written rule, and it shouldn't happen very often, but here and there things are going to happen. So they need discretion. And so, basically they've instituted a rule to do this. And so I basically, what I did in this story is to identify four instances where something like that happened. So one was Great Lakes in 1918, getting tackled by Navy. Another one, which was pretty funny when you get in the details of it and read the period articles. In 1940, Michigan goes out to Cal. It's the first time the two teams ever meet, because again, that's back in the day, Midwestern teams didn't go out there very often. The Big Ten didn't play in bowl games. So the two teams had never met. But Michigan had Tom Harmon, who won the Heisman Trophy that year. And he just, it's first game of the season, he scores like 28 points. He scores four touchdowns, throws for another one, and kicks four extra points. So, I mean, he's just an absolute stud. And a couple of his runs are really lengthy runs. And on the second one of those lengthy runs, his first lengthy run, I think, was the second touchdown. And there was a guy in the stands sitting fairly low, apparently, who said to his buddies, if that guy gets loose one more time, I'm going to go out and tackle him myself. And they're like, yeah, and I think he'd had a couple of beverages. So sure enough, Harmon gets loose, and he had it was like 78, 79 yard, touchdown jaunt. And as he's approaching the end zone, here comes this guy, Bud Wellman or something like that, comes out of the stands and tries to tackle him. And, he stiff arms and then just kind of strolls into the end zone. So, this guy, it was kind of, he was kind of made fun of in the, in the newspapers for doing this. But on the other hand, most people kind of admired him a little bit. But so, it's just, here's this guy in street clothes going out trying to tackle Tom Harmon. Then there was the next one was the 1954 Cotton Bowl. And, good game, it's supposed to be a good game. Rice was favored and they're playing Bama. And on the second, I think it was Bama's second possession, they gave the ball multiple times to this guy, Tommy Lewis, and, had a couple of nice runs, scores a touchdown. And then Rice gets the ball and, I'm probably going to mess up his name, but this guy, Dickie, I don't know if it's Meagle Magle. He had a nice long run for Rice to tie it up. Maybe they went ahead. And then like the next possession, boop, he goes around end again and he's racing down the field. And this guy who had scored the first Bama touchdown, who's sitting on the bench, is all PO'd watching this guy running down the field. So he jumps off the bench and tackles him on the sidelines. So this one's captured on film. And, the film is in the, the film of that and the Michigan one, is available in the tidbit itself. But they're just kind of funny just seeing some guy coming off the bench or coming out of the stands trying to make a tackle. And then the third one is Wake Forest at NC State in 1971. And, you know, kind of a similar thing happened. It was, you know, this one was a close game, and the Wake Forest quarterback, I think, he'd led them like in a fourth quarter comeback, but then they like failed to, they were able to move the ball. Like there was a turnover, they were able to move the ball close to maybe kicking a field goal to tie the game, or to tie the game or go ahead. And the ball, you know, it's like the clock's ticking. It's like literally the last seconds of the game. So they're rushing this kick, and it's either a bad snap or, you know, bad hold, bad kick. And the ball kind of goes flicking off, and is caught by an NC State player who then starts running down the sideline. Now, at that point, they had won the game. You know, Lake Forest wasn't going to score. So this didn't decide the game, but he's running down the sideline. And so the Wake Forest quarterback, who apparently is a pretty admirable guy and everything, but for whatever reason, he came flying off the bench and he tackles this NC State guy. And so, you know, same situation. The refs say, nope, we're awarding the touchdown. And so NC State won like 20-15 instead of, they won like 20-14 instead of, you know, 15-14. But it's just, I just find it so amusing that, you know, people's emotions got the best of them. And they just said, screw it, I'm going to tackle the guy, even though they clearly know it's wrong, right? It's bad sportsmanship, but it's kind of understandable.
Yeah, I guess that competitive edge just fires them up just to the point of losing their senses for a moment. So,
yeah,
some entertaining stories for sure. And you describe them so well, especially the Harmon one. That was a great description. And I encourage everybody to read, you know, all of Tim's tidbits. But that one's a great description of an actual play that was fantastic. And you do this a lot in your tidbits. You tell us a little story. You do some research on it. You tell us the whys and whens, and you call them the tidbits of football archaeology. So maybe you could share with us how people can partake in these.
Yep. Just go to footballarchaeology.com. It's a Substack site. So subscribe and you'll get an email every time that I publish a story that, you know, contains the story itself. Or, you know, follow me on Substack, follow me on Blue Sky, because I post, you know, on there every time that I publish a new story. Or just bookmark it and come and visit anytime you want. And there's now almost, you know, 1,400 stories out there in the archives. So
wow,
coming out and use a little search function if you're trying to figure something out. And there's probably something related to it sitting out there in an article.
Yeah, just find your keyword and put it in the old window, and
Tim
will have a story there for you. So excellent, Tim. We appreciate you coming on and sharing this great story of these, uncommon scores or tackles or the 12th man coming on, and not Seattle's 12th man. And but very entertaining and very historic. And we appreciate you doing that, and we'd love to talk to you again next Tuesday.
Very good. Thanks, sir.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
You did not see their faces on the Wheaties boxes, nor did they have the headlines, but they were breaking barriers, one pitch at a time. The integration of minor league baseball, a history and player register, 1946 to 1959, by Rick Swain and Gary C. Fink, shines a light on the overlooked heroes who paved the way for future legends. From dusty bus rides to hostile crowds, these players fought for a place in a game that did not want to see them win. More than history, it's a tribute to courage, perseverance, and the power of a game to change. Honor their legacy today and grab a copy of The Integration of Minor League Baseball at your favorite bookseller.